This is TWiT.
We're bringing back tech etiquette. Now, I remember in the original screensavers, we were talking about netiquette.
Yep.
But it hasn't kept up with the modern world. Mm-hmm. So, your new... Is it going to be a book?
From your lips to God's ears.
I hope so. Any publishers listening, this is the book. It's going to be a big bestseller. I heard you tell Megan that you want to call this Caller Calls Back.
Yeah, that's the site. I registered the site, callercallsback.com, and when every now and then when I have some time when Cisco isn't keeping me too busy, I put up a post or two.
I love this. Callercallsback.com. Now, I want to tell everybody how important this is. Rule number one, caller calls back.
Okay, what does that mean?
Are you with me on that one?
Rule number one. I told my daughter, she said, I didn't know that. I said, nobody knows that. Rafe made it up, but it's a good rule. Did you make this up?
I would love to take credit for it. I may have seen it one or two other places before, but it just makes sense to me. So I want it to be a thing, and I want it to be called Caller Calls Back, which is whenever you're on a cell phone call and it disconnects, which is always, the person who placed the call is the one who makes the call back.
This solves a major real problem because both people try to call and then both people get voicemail and they say, I'm calling you. And it's just the world's worst. Whoever placed the call remakes the call. Caller calls back. Right now, if you died this second, and I died this second, our job here would be done. We would have completed our mission on Earth. This is the most important netiquette rule of all.
Yes. So we could just leave it there, or I could go.
No, why don't we do an interview? Because we got all this time to waste. So let's. By the way, it did need to be updated, didn't it? We had this idea of netiquette, and a lot of it was things like, you know, keep your signature and your email under three lines. Mm-hmm. It was dopey stuff that isn't applicable anymore.
Well, technology, almost all of our communication, person-to-person communication these days, is mediated through technology. And the old rules don't upscale or don't apply or got totally different issues. We're all communicating with emojis on electronic disconnected devices. Our cars are driving themselves. We're talking to robots. They're talking back to us. Nobody knows how to be polite in this society. And, you know, considering that we're all getting all crunched in together, we might as well learn how to be nice to each
other. Here's a good one that never really cropped up. We all have GPS now in our vehicles. Many of us have spouses or girlfriends or boyfriends. If we're lucky enough to have somebody else in our lives, I'm driving. The GPS says go one way. Lisa, my lovely wife, says go another. Break the tie.
Me?
Yeah. You're the king of etiquette.
On this. Yes. So you break the tie. You always, always listen to the human being. Always. It's not worth it otherwise. Remember, the rule is this. This is how you remember. It's really quite simple. Remember who you're going home with.
You're not going to bed with your GPS. Let's put it that
way. That's right.
That's right. I learned this the hard way from my ex-wife.
Ex-wife. So, that is a perfect example of how etiquette has changed over time. And this is something that comes up all the time. And I have to confess, but the car says, and you're right, I should just say yes, dear.
Yeah. That's a little bit common sense, isn't it? Like, trust the human being.
How long have you been married?
23 years.
It's common sense to you. I'm on my third wife. We didn't even have GPS for the first two.
Imagine.
A lot of etiquette really is common sense.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of, you know what they say about common sense, it's not very common.
Yeah, this is true.
God knows I don't have any.
So what is the tech etiquette for robots? What do robots need to disclose to us?
I like that.
Well, that's developing. But the thing that I'm very interested in is, do chatbots, you know, when you get online and you're chatting with customer service, a text chat, does the thing that you're chatting with have to identify itself as a robot, if it is a robot? And can it lie? Because a lot of them can take a conversation pretty far.
It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And you find out they're a robot, you feel let down. You feel insulted. You feel lied to.
Yes.
You said your name was Anne. It's not Anne. It's robot.
Robot Ann. Robot Ann, to be
right.
fair.
So I believe that the right thing to do is for the robot to identify itself as a robot, because we have certain expectations in the dialogue between two entities. You know, if I'm talking to a person, I'm going to make small talk. I'm going to try to butter them up, trying to get them on my side. If I'm talking to a robot, it's just like, hello, lights. You know, that's it. Aziz, lights. You know, that's it. That's all you want to say. Oh, I got Blue Angels flying over me right now. Sorry if there's noise.
Oh, it's Fleet Week in San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So I think one of the challenges with that is the gray area where you've got something. It's unclear whether it's a robot or it's a human who's firing off like pre-baked responses
kind of
until you get to the point where it needs to respond to you. But, you know, phone trees don't pretend that they're people talking to
but
you.
But how would a robot reveal? Would it say, I am a robot?
Hello, this is an automated response? Yeah, right?
Right. And if you start to get it, because these things can identify your sentiment. So if you start to curse at it because you're talking to your cable company and you start to be angry, it's like, why can't you just do what you're supposed to do like you said you would? The robot should say, one moment, please.
Let me transfer you to a human operator.
Or it could even say, and there's no reason for it not to say, sir, there is no need to take that tone with me. I will transfer you to a human now. Because, you know, all that stuff is being recorded, and whether it's a robot or human, we should be held accountable for being jerks.
I am sorry to sense your powerful emotions. I shall transfer you
human. I'm sorry. I don't want a robot to throw shade at me. That does not sound pleasant.
You seem to be angry transferring.
Screw you, robot.
Yeah.
You're my servant.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to work out that way, Leo.
Robots.
I am employed by the company that made me, sir.
Oh, I can feel my blood pressure going up already. I can tell. All right, how about this one? Speaking of blood pressure. Hello, sir. This is Windows calling. You have a virus on your computer. What do you do when you get those scam calls? Do you talk to them? A lot of people I know give them a runaround for hours.
That's the game. I was so happy I got one of those calls. I was so delighted because I've been waiting to get the Windows. Here I am sitting on, you know, I've got three Macs in my office. Your Windows computer is infected. So the thing that everybody wants to do, if you're a nerd, is to drag it out as long as you can, right?
Yeah, that's not nice.
So that's, well, I did a decision tree or a chart, a game theory chart on what to do when this happens. Because what happened when this call came in for me is I decided to try to change the scammer's ways.
This is awesome. Look at this.
I said,
there's a
you
table.
Know, you need a job. I understand that.
Oh, that's good.
But you're really hurting somebody.
Oh, God, that's good. You know what I did?
Wait, here's what happened.
What?
The person on the other end said, screw you, you a-hole, and hung up on me.
Yes! I did this. Rafe, we have the same instincts. But I was worse. I said, does your mother know that you call older people and try to scam them out of their money? Does your mother know that? Same exact response, by the way.
So I called my mother after this happened and said, did I do the right thing? And that's where that decision chart came
from.
Oh,
mom knows best. Yeah.
Yeah, my mother is super highly evolved ethical sense. And she said, all you need to say is shame on you.
Oh, I like
that. Shame.
Shame on you.
Shame on you. And I think she's right about that. But anyway, the chart is basically what it comes down to is no matter how good it makes you feel to try to game them or to shame them or whatever, you're not going to make a difference to the world at large. So you might as well just hang up and save your time. This is the only decision. I've done a bunch of decision charts, and this is the only one where all the outcomes are negative. So you might as well just save time.
Save time, get your life back, and say, shame on you, click.
Yeah.
That's funny because that's the decision I came to.
Yeah, the best case scenario you could have is if enough of those pile up,
maybe
for
feel
them
some shame.
To quit their job and go do something more.
I have to say I have a flaw, which is I always try to see it from the other person's point of view. Even somebody doing this, I would say, well, they're probably really poor, and this was the only job they could get.
Yeah,
they got a college education.
With my mother.
Yeah, so I feel bad for them.
A crime's a crime. You're me, and I'm my mother. Crime is a crime.
Yes, Mom.
They know what they're doing, son.
Okay, Mom.
Right?
You're right.
I agree with you.
Shame on you.
Human
That's
mother.
All you have to say. Shame on you. Man, I love this. Caller Calls Back is the website. It's the new rules for high tech.
21st century netiquette.
Yeah. How to name conference rooms?
Oh, that's just one I threw out there.
I like it, though, because you go to these fancy high-tech places, and they got crazy names. Mm-hmm. And you don't know where the hell you are. So you say you should have practical names. Is that what you're saying?
You should encode location in the name.
Yes.
Evernote, where I used to work, there are four or five floors that we had in the building, and there was the north side and the south side. And every conference room was named after a computer game.
No.
And the A's are on the first floor, and the two words were north and one word was south. And actually, that scheme worked for the entire building. So Dig Dug was fourth floor, north side.
Oh, that's pretty good. So it could still be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. We had Hitchcock movies at one of my places, or you think that would be too silly.
I don't want to meet the birds.
But actually, North by Northwest and Rear Window were perfect names for the locations of the conference room. So whoever did
Psycho
a great job.
And Psycho was right next to the CEO's
and Psycho
office.
Is in the bathroom, probably.
Right.
Next
rope
to the shower.
Rope would be... Where would that be?
Rope is at the top of a rope ladder in a treehouse.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I come up with this all the time. This happens all the time. Uber, Airbnb. Mm-hmm. At the end of the stay or at the end of the drive, you have to rate the driver. Yeah. I just always give him 5 stars.
You are.
I am, because I have to say, I look at the star ratings, and if I get a 2-star driver, I say, no, not you. Why am I right?
Well, from personal experience, I wrote this one because I have a downstairs Airbnb.
Oh, you have an Airbnb.
If you go below 4.7 or 4.8, you start to fall in the rankings. And the same thing happens with Lyft and Airbnb. I mean, with Lyft and Uber.
You could actually really hurt somebody.
Yeah. So if you have if you're just feeling a little crabby, or maybe the driver was a little curt, or maybe they took a minute or two longer, or maybe
that's not a star.
A spider showed up, you ding them a star, you could actually hurt their income. Yeah. And this is somebody who has to drive an Uber for a living.
Did your mom give you this decision table?
No, this one was mine. Because I used to be a product reviewer, you know, and I never gave anything a perfect score.
Nothing gets
ever,
5
ever,
out of 5. Yeah. That's right. That's what kills me about it, too, is nothing is good enough to be 5 out of 5. But the truth is, it's not a 5-point system, right? The truth is, Uber, Airbnb, any of these
things. It's really a binary
system. It's actually
system.
A thumbs-up, thumbs-down system, but they pretend that it's not.
Yeah. So unless somebody was really awful.
Right.
Really awful. Give them 5 stars.
Yeah, it really should be. Yeah, 5.
Okay, that's what I've been doing, even for awful ones. I just go, fine, whatever.
Yeah, it's 5 or 1. I mean, unless they're dangerous and you're worried about the next person being a victim of them,
that's
it's
different.
A 5.
Yeah, that's
different. But if they're really terrible, you have a responsibility to rate it a 0 or 1, as low as you can go. But nothing in between makes any sense, because it is their income. You're not talking about, you know, dinging HP's laptop because it's a little heavier than the Dell, you know, and somebody has to decide between two things. These are people's lives,
and nobody's relying on your personal opinion directly. You're just building the aggregate. Response.
Now, eBay maybe ratings are different.
Yeah, sure, or Amazon ratings even.
Those should be on a scale of 0 to 5.
Well, the
and
the
you
fact
should
is,
be because you. Because it isn't a binary.
Right, but something like Uber, I mean, this is the truth, is Uber should not have a 5-star system. They should change it to be thumbs up. Like Netflix did with their ratings, where they said, you know what, this is too much gradation. People don't need this level of gradation. Did you have a good ride or not? Is all they really need to know. And instead, we're put in this position where we're like, well, it was a little bit slow. He took a wrong turn, but he was nice. Do I give him 4? And the answer is no, don't give him 4. You might as well give him 0 at that point. You're ruining his score. And that's Uber shouldn't ask us to do that, but they don't seem to care.
I love this, Rafe, because you're bringing this stuff up to the conscious level, because we live in this world. It's so rapidly changing, and we're faced with these things, new things.
It used
all
to be
time.
How much I tip, and now it's what do I rate in the app, right? Yeah. The rules are different.
And it's good. It's good to think, and you think clearly. The website caller calls back with the single most important rule: if the line drops, the caller calls you back.
Well, know that this is one when Apple and Google build this into their phone apps, where a call drops and it says, "You called this person. Would you like to call back?" And the other one is, the other person will probably call you. Just wait.
Ooh, I got to patent it.
Oh, no. Well,
no,
then we'll never get it.
And somebody in the chat room saying, oh, I knew this all along. I've always assumed that. No, but most
people
don't.
That's the problem.
Most people don't. And every time a call drops, every time we both try to call, and nobody gets through.
You press that call back button.
Caller calls back. I told my daughter this. She said, but I can never remember who called. I said, remember.
That's what the software is for.
Rafe, it's great to talk to you.
Always a pleasure.
Good luck. Everybody, just call your local publisher. And do you have a local publisher? Call your local publisher and say, hey, there's a book that needs to be published.
It's a great idea.
Callercallsback.com. Get Rafe a contract in the mail immediately. Thanks, Rafe. Take care.
We'll talk again soon.
I want to do this as an ongoing series because, like, I have all sorts of things like Snapchat.
Well, send me your conundrums.
I will. I'll send you. Yeah. Oh, I got conundrums.
I'm working on one on binge watching etiquette.
Oh, man. Here's a big one.
Oh boy.
I'm watching Stranger Things, right? And I stop at episode 3. It's coming up later this month. We all know. And Lisa and I go to bed because we watched 3 episodes. She goes back and watches episode 4. Yeah. Is that okay?
No, she's cheating on you.
She's cheating on me.
She needs a side binge.
Yep.
She needs a side binge.
She does.
Yeah, show that you're not watching, but she is, that she can go to when you're not co-binging.
You watch The Defenders together, and then you do what I do, which is you just watch Iron Fist by yourself because she doesn't want to watch that.
She doesn't want to watch that.
No. Yeah.
So it's always good to know what your wife doesn't want to watch or your husband.